I don't have to tell you that we are in an election year, a time to choose someone to lead us into the future. All you have to do is turn on the TV and voices come over the airwaves, voices in abundance, voices that one way or another call out to us, follow me. Follow me and I will lead you to green pastures beside still waters. I will revive your soul and the soul of our nation. But with so many voices out there, each one claiming to be genuine, how do we know which one we can trust, if any? And that leads me to a deeper consideration that goes well beyond politics or anything else. Who do we trust? And why do we trust them? What is the essence of trust? Trust, real trust, if we think about it, only emerges out of deep relationship. Any parent knows that. We as parents spend the early years of our children's lives building trust. We provide a safe, caring, loving environment for our children. And they in turn come to recognize us as the one whom they can trust. The earliest form of such recognition? The voice of the parent. Scientists will tell you that children even in the womb respond to the voices around them, to the vibrations of the voice of the mother, or the voices of those close to them. And you can always see those pictures of fathers talking to the child through the womb so that they can get their voice involved. So even before facial recognition, children know the voice of the one who will and has held them, changed them, comforted them, and fed them. Children come to distinguish our voices apart from all others. They will respond to our voice in a way that is unique. When all is said and done, the voice tells them to whom they belong. Well, Jesus in our reading this morning says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me." Today, if you haven't discovered already, is known as Shepherd Sunday. And it's a day when we reflect on the image of God as shepherd, a God who tends a flock of sheep. And as shepherd, God is one who protects and tends and feeds and who in all ways cares for the flock. And we, the human family, created by God, the people of God, the children of God, are sheep of that flock. The image of God as shepherd is a comforting one for many, especially in times of distress or despair, fear, and grief. And yet, to understand the fullness of that image, we need to know something about the nature and behavior of sheep. Now, we usually think of sheep as being in a flock, but sheep really are very independent in their way. Left on their own, they will wander. They will trust their noses to guide them to the choicest grass. Sometimes it works, often it doesn't. So in order to keep them together in their flock, in order for them to really truly determine what is best for them, they need a shepherd. And the job of the shepherd is simply to lead and to guide the sheep. In the process of this relationship, sheep tend to grow very fond of and appear to be very loyal to their shepherd. Just imagine the fact of a shepherd walking right through a sleeping flock and not a single sheep is disturbed. But if a stranger even sets foot in the pen, pandemonium breaks loose. You see, sheep seem to consider their shepherds part of their family. And the relationship that grows up between the two, the shepherd and the sheep, is really quite unique and exclusive. They even develop a language of their own. A good shepherd will learn to discern whatever the sheep is saying, be able to distinguish a bleat of pain from one of pleasure. And while the sheep learn that a cluck of the tongue means food, or another sound means that it's time to go home, a language develops between them, a language that comes through understanding. Many years ago, during my trip to Jerusalem, I remember seeing Bedouin shepherds bringing their flocks to a waterhole not far from the Garden of Gethsemane. And I watched as the shepherds would sit on the grass and chat as the sheep grazed and drank from the little stream known as the Kidron Valley River. And suddenly one of the shepherds got up and began walking away. And I noticed him putting his fingers to his lips and he let out a shrill whistle. And all of a sudden, about 20 or 25 sheep got up, stopped their grazing, separated themselves from the rest of the grazing sheep, and followed the shepherd. No words were spoken, just a simple whistle. And yet only the shepherd's sheep followed the shepherd, responded to the voice of the shepherd, the whistle. They knew their shepherd's voice, and it was the only voice they would follow. That is the nature of sheep. The point? Sheep know who the shepherd is, and they trust the shepherd because they develop a deep relationship with the shepherd. They feel safe around the shepherd, and they know his voice. And when the shepherd calls, they will follow that voice wherever it leads. They are in relationship with the shepherd. Now, would it appear then that sheep, assuming they follow the right shepherd, are rather smart and well-behaved creatures. And they are, until they're scared. And that's when the relationship they have with the shepherd falls apart. And the fact of the matter is that sheep are afraid of just about everything. When they're scared, they don't tend to show signs of intelligent behavior. Fear causes a flock to disintegrate. And when sheep are driven apart, they are most vulnerable to predators. And that's when the sheep need the shepherd the most. Well, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and my sheep follow me." His call for others to follow him as a shepherd was a way of telling people, "I will lead you out of danger. You can trust me." Jesus understood that it was his voice, God's voice, to which his sheep would come running, no matter how far they had strayed. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me," he said. As you begin to reflect on this, what comes to mind is that the shepherd understands the flock. And it is the sheep who need to know the voice of the shepherd. The people who responded to Jesus' message and witnessed his miracles of healing, of love and grace, knew that through Jesus, they would be spiritually fed. That their lives would be made at peace. both in the present age and in the age to come. It was his voice that promised, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch the sheep out of my hand. That is the shepherd whom we come here to follow. And yet sometimes the problem is not that we, the sheep of his pasture, do not recognize the voice of the shepherd. Rather, we recognize it all too well and we refuse to listen. Or maybe more aptly, we listen selectively. We have no problem listening when the voice of the shepherd is offering comfort and reassurance. When we find ourselves in the emergency room at 3 a.m., few words comfort us more than those of the psalm we read together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Or from the words of our gospel this morning, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Those words comfort us. Those words from Jesus. Those words given to us from God through Scripture. What better cure for our anxiety or fear than the affirmation that Jesus is the good shepherd who loves us, who knows us, and who shall keep us, even in the valley of the shadow of death, or in whatever situation we find ourselves. And maybe that's why the 23rd Psalm is so special for so many. It spends nearly all of its time speaking about the character of the shepherd rather than the nature of the sheep. All of the action is placed on the shoulders of the shepherd. The shepherd is the one who keeps, who leads, who makes the sheep to lie down in green pastures, who restores, who protects. Clearly, the psalm asserts that the sheep are in relationship with the shepherd on the basis of what the shepherd does, who the shepherd is, what the shepherd offers us, rather than on what the sheep do. And that can be a great source of comfort in our need when we face fear and anxiety. But, having said that, when the shepherd calls us to follow him, sometimes through the valley of the shadow of death, or of self-denial, or of obedience, or self-sacrifice, or unconditional love, loving our neighbor as ourselves, serving one another instead of being served, giving instead of receiving, then we don't hear so well. We're scared of what might happen if we open ourselves up. And when we're scared, like sheep, we do stupid things. We take wrong turn, we make ill-advised decisions, and sometimes we become self-destructive. Sometimes we'll even forsake the shepherd and turn instead to those who promise us pie in the sky. In surprise, many of them turn out simply to be a wolf in shepherd's clothing. In a world that's increasingly more scattered and scared, our task as the church is to constantly and compassionately translate and transmit the voice of the shepherd to all those who are lost, hurting, and alone. But to do that, we need first to know the voice of the shepherd in our own lives. In today's gospel reading, Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, and we who wander into his flock that we call the church become one of his own. And oh, by the way, his own goes well beyond the church. But nonetheless, it is here in our gathering and here in gatherings like this that we hear His voice and we begin to know Him. We listen, we feel His presence, we begin to believe. Because of our belief, we come again to listen, and the more secure we find ourselves in His presence, the more deeply we believe. And as we share those stories with one another and hear how God acts in others' lives as well as in our own, our faith deepens even more when we realize the expansiveness of God's love and grace. And that is the journey you and I are on. It's an evolution of faith, if you will. An increasing knowledge that God is with us even in our darkest and most questioning moments. And that is good news that we can share well beyond these four walls. That is good news that we can bring into our lives and share with those people we meet who are wandering like sheep without a shepherd. For the last 40 years, I've studied a lot of theology. I've spent a lifetime poring over Scripture, trying to understand the meaning and character of God. I've met a lot of people, heard a lot of stories, had a lot of experiences. But when all is said and done, it's all really quite simple. We all stand before Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who knows all as God's sheep. And in Jesus, we see something about the very nature of God. God will lead, we will follow. We will stray, God will find us. We will face danger, God will protect us. Reminding us that nothing, not even death, can separate us from God's love. We are God's. God will never let us go. Believe that if you can't believe anything else. And what is true for us is true for all people. At Easter, the disciples had been scattered. Like sheep without a shepherd, they huddled to one another behind dubious comfort of locked doors. And Jesus came to them, breathed on them, blessed them, and offered them peace. And so He comes to us and breathes on us and blesses us and offers us peace. And He comes to us and does that over and over and over and over again. And each time the relationship between us and God develops a little bit more deeply. And if that's still too much theology from you, and if you don't take anything else away from my words this morning, another voice in the wilderness, then remember this. And it's simple because I think you've already learned this as a child. Because I think this is the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, and He will never, ever let us go. Let us give thanks to the Shepherd whose flock we are. Amen.